This is JFM Podcast.
Hello there, very good evening to you. Welcome to the program Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Bonsack Fanab. It's a beautiful Thursday evening, 14th of March, 2024. Gilbert, good evening. How's the day? How's the going?
Good evening, Bonsack. I had a relatively quiet day and I was all by myself to say. So it was one I took, you know, deep stock to say at a really personal level, and I think I enjoyed it, and we're back here to do the business.
Yeah. My day was relatively quiet as well.
Pleasant coincidence.
Yeah, it is. At times, you know, I have this time that I give to myself. I call it me time. If I want to, it's at my own discretion if I want to answer a phone call, respond to your text message, because I just want to enjoy the moment. I mean, what stories have you followed today, Gilbert?
Yeah, quite a good number of stories. Some politics, some security related, and I wanted to intentionally avoid, for my part, talking about security.
You know, it's depressing.
Yes, it's depressing. It's depressing, especially when you look at certain reasons that even people who should be responsible for protecting lives and property are dismissing as to the reasons or factors why certain security disaster or disasters, as it were, occur. You know, it's tough. It's really tough to take. And Ponsak, just to put it in context, Major General Edward Buba, who is the Director of Defense Media Operations, said something today, and I want to quote in part just briefly what he says. He says the military is committed to rescuing all kidnapped victims unhurt, and added that some of the IDPs abducted in Borno State should be blamed for straying away from their camps without permission to get firewood. You know, and of course, what happened in Kaduna State, he said the blame is on the school authorities who did not alert security agencies in time as at, you know, when the abduction took place. I just don't know. You remember Garba Shehu said something about the slain farmers
in Maiduguri?
Yes, 43 farmers in Maiduguri again. He said, look, they didn't go to clearance to go to farm. Politicians say this, and then you have security agencies coming out to say these things again.
Yeah. Gilbert, I'm here to... you know, there's this book, George Orwell, Animal Farm. I don't know if George Orwell was, like, in our time today, what kind of literature is he going to write? I mean, this is a state that doesn't accept responsibility. Mm-hmm. Look at what security agencies are saying, that they are blaming those victims who have been...
abducted.
Does it make sense? Then what is your job?
Unfortunate.
Yeah. Unfortunate. What then is your job?
Probably the lack of accountability gives everybody, you know, the leverage to do as they deem fit,
or to even say things as they deem fit.
I don't know. You could help us to make a sense of all of these things.
It's simply because, for me, like you said, accountability. And people, the Nigerian people, don't understand how to keep leaders or hold leaders to account. They look at leaders as demigods, especially political leaders, you know. They don't look at leaders as, these are servants, you know, that they are serving me. And I can rise, you know, and the Reverend Dr. Miwazi Dandara has once said something very profound. He said, according to him, he said, he thinks it's time for the Nigerian people to withdraw the legitimacy they've given to government. You know, when I gave that thought, you know, I give that
kind of makes
idea,
sense.
You
but
know,
but you'll be charged again with insurrection or whatever charges it is that government wants to place.
No, basically what he's saying is that if the Nigerian people go out to protest, it's like showing displeasure, expressing displeasure. And then those, you know, that they voted will sit on their toes, you know, to act. Nigeria is one of the, forget what people, you know, Buhari will say, that Nigeria is a complex. Nigeria is an easy state to rule. Mm-hmm. It's one of, because people don't demand accountability from political leaders.
Just make life relatively easy.
Not even make it. Is life relatively easy now? Are the people complaining? Because the people is just like a chessboard, you know.
The thing is that, you know, it's tough. It's tough. In summary, it's just a tough one to call, especially when you look at our society. I understand, you know, the reasons behind why, you know, the Reverend Dr. Mewazi Dandara said the things that he said. And that is because, look, it was a kind of consensus, you know, that the people came together and said, look, let's allow the government to take charge of all our affairs, as it were, you know. And when things aren't going as the first thought, then it's also in their place to be able to, you know, take charge of the affairs of the state.
Yeah, because I was about to say that if you look at, you know, Nigeria, I look at Nigeria like not a chessboard, but it's a board that you have the political class. They are the ones behind. And then you have the religious leaders. And then you have the masses. What the religious leaders always do to the masses is protecting the political class from the masses. Because the religious leaders will teach you fatalism. They will teach you that anything that happens to you, that is how God has designed it. You know, but they don't look at, you know, the political class to say, no, you are wrong in this. You know, they are supposed to serve as the conscience of the state. But you see them, you know, hands
serve as buffet,
and even, you know, they are bedmates. Okay. You know, and I'm not condemning the political class, by the way. What I'm saying is that if the day that the masses, you know, rise up to say no, we think that we've had enough. Just imagine the tax is the Nigerian people that pay military for protection, and then the military is telling the people that no, you didn't do well. Mm-hmm. Then what is the job of the military? Mm-hmm. What is the job?
The peasants, these people who go to the farms, pay taxes after harvest.
Of course.
To put that in context, you know,
yeah.
They pay taxes, and it's from the taxes that agencies of government are funded. You know, and for I like how you mentioned it. But again, talking about religion, you know, as you mentioned it, Olusegun Adeniyi said in Nigeria, politics and religion are a good mix. You know, I don't know to what extent, but you have somehow concorded to,
you know, to that allusion. For me, nothing against, you know, religion. It's a fantastic idea for how human beings, is a tool for mass cooperation of human beings. That is what religion does. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, if you're a Christian, if you're Muslim, anywhere you find your church or mosque, you feel at home, even if it's not your native home. You know, you feel these people are your brothers and sisters, because it's just an idea that human beings, you know, rally around is just a tool to make human beings cooperate in large numbers, you know, so to say. But coming to, I mean, what the military said, it's very disheartening. Mm-hmm. So you're blaming the victim?
Yeah.
You're not even taking responsibility
for what happened. And this is even the wrongest of times to do this.
Let me tell you something that Kaduna State has the highest concentration of military. The heart of the Nigerian military.
The naval too is in Kaduna.
The naval is in Kaduna State, and then in the same Kaduna that bandit attacked an NDA facility. Things happen in this country that, for me, I was telling some friends yesterday. I said, how do you people read the news in Nigeria? At times it's very sickening. You know, that. Well, let's go to Senator Shehu Sani was explaining how budget padding works. I don't know if you've come across, you know, that story.
No. And it was part of the conversation, funny enough, that we were having with Mr. Adudu.
Yeah.
You know, 2 days back. Yeah. I was trying to just, you know, how for us break what budget padding means and how it works and all that. And thankfully, I think it's a material that would suffice here.
Yeah.
In terms of explaining it.
Budget padding is just, you know, telling the agencies, put this, you know, in your, if you come for budget defense,
include this.
That is what budget padding, you know, means. So that when, you know, that budget is being approved, you know, for the MDA, whatever MDA, the senators who are supposed, or the lawmakers who are supposed to provide oversight functions, they will just go and say, that money, remember, you know, that money under this funny line, now my own, you know, now our own for this committee. Bring Amoku. That is, you know, how basically it works. Well, let's play this insert. We'll have a very long, interesting conversation. I'm so particular. I want just to just that I grew up seeing. I mean, there were a lot of trees, but now there are no trees. There was a bit of organization. I still remember, you know, there were bus stops in Jos. Naita bus stop, you know, was there. Miango Junction had a bus stop. Opposite Air Force Girls, you know, had a bus stop. Bukuru Locos had a bus stop. Bus stops, you know, usually they are this red brick. I think they are, the architecture was so beautiful, you know, then the people just sit waiting for the buses, you know, in those bus stops. We have the GM of GMDB. I mean, it's going to be an interesting conversation with him. But let's play this insert from Governor Nyesomuke. Did you?
Yes, I did.
Did you watch the drama plenty? When we come back, the show will continue. Stay here.
I'm a member of People's Democratic Party. Have you ever seen me change any day? When I don't know why this. Correct. The one I supported before, what happened? The one I supported before, now what happened? So what happened?
I have
decided
now
to take a break. No, look, as you see me here now, everybody carry a cross. I'm just as I'm today. You see, when people say this, I was in PDP, I didn't hide it. I came out. I said I'm not going to support your presidential candidate. Is it that I spoke in a way people did not understand? Is it that I acted in a way people did not understand? Even the deaf heard me, the deaf. You can hear when the deaf can hear you. What I said, the deaf heard. But if this is not done, I won't do this. This will leave me for who? That I did what? Who violated the party's constitution? Who violated? Who should be disciplined? I'm an advocate of the implementation of the constitution. And you breached it. And you want to discipline me. In the first place, can you not even say, in the first place, you should have thanked us, thanked Rivers? Do you understand me? Okay, assuming we lost the governorship, would you have been talking about Rivers State being a PDP seat? Assuming we lost. Forget about these people who are gallivanting today, moving around, say that they can now serve master and serve boy. Now they are serving boy on the road now. But listen, like I told you, now is time for governance. Now it's time to do your own assignment. President, I give you an assignment. I'm busy carrying my own assignment. When the time for politics comes, then we'll know who is where, who is not where. Money is not everything. I was the Minister of State when I went to run for a governorship. Yes, I was.
Well, glad you're still here. The program is Nigeria at Sunset. My name is Ponsak Fanab.
My name is Gilbert Joseph.
Of course, that was the FCT Minister, Governor Nyesom, former Governor Nyesom Iwike, saying that he's still a member of the PDP. Like I said, we have the General Manager of Jos Metropolitan Development Board, Architect Hart Bankard. Good evening. Thank you so much for coming, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for having me, and good evening, our listeners.
Well, first, I must commend you publicly. The pavement to our roads is very nice, especially driving at night, you know, people. And I mean, there's a decline in the number of accident or road crashes that I've seen since when, you know, the pavement were painted, because if you're coming in the night, at least you can see, you know, colors, white and black, and telling you that this is how to go. So thank you very much for that. We want more. Well, I don't know where to start from, but just how has been, you know, the journey so far since your appointment? How has been the journey so far?
Well, it's been quite interesting. We came prepared. We didn't just jump on it. We didn't just fall on the streets. We actually came prepared, because we came with a task of what to achieve. And by the special grace of God, we're doing our bit to see that we are able to achieve what we came here to do.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. Well, recently, some days ago, there was this Executive Order 003, 2024, for the control of buildings and vehicular traffic in Plateau State. Let me read part of it. Whereas in consideration of the indiscriminate manner in which buildings have been erected and traffic control abysmally degenerate within the Greater Jos Master Plan and the prevalence of building collapse, the government of Plateau State deems it necessary to control the manner of construction of buildings and ensure effective traffic control in the state. And whereas indiscriminate use and parking of vehicles within the Greater Jos Master Plan has hampered free vehicle movement as well as posing a security threat to the citizenry, the government considers it necessary to sanitize the traffic sector in the state for security and ease of transportation. Now, therefore, pursuant to the powers vested in me by Section 2 of the Constitution of the Federal Republic and my inherent powers as the Governor of Plateau State, Nigeria, I order thus, the rate for processing fees and building plans fees shall henceforth be reviewed. We don't know whether upward or downward. Annually based on the zones, erecting a building without first obtaining approval is hereby prohibited, and violators shall be liable to pay 50% of the estimated value of such buildings. Take us, you know, in depth to, you know, this Executive Order 3 and what the state government hopes or plans to achieve with that.
Thank you very much. And then this is a very good opportunity for us to once more expatiate on the intent of government. I want to use this medium to specially thank His Excellency Barrister Caleb Manasseh Mutfon for totally understanding the plight and frustration of our job and coming to terms with the reality that we need to make amends and then make changes for us to progress. It takes only a smart leader to know that things need to be done differently to achieve results. And to make it easy, I think we'll go point by point so that people get to understand. Now, we have situations whereby we have fixed rates for building plan approval and then in different areas. And then you're charging someone who is building in a Rayfield, the same thing with someone in Gadabew, and all those things. Now, based on the zones, there are areas and concessions that are supposed to be done that you know that people will have to get controlled over buildings. And the idea of this is to make sure that everybody is carried along. Nobody is left behind. So where we need to take it upwards, we'll take it upwards. Where we need to review it downwards, we'll review it downwards so that people don't have excuses to now say, because you have a fixed rate, I cannot come and get approval for my building. And the second aspect of it is the part I love so much. Penalties have to be stiff. If they are not stiff, people will take advantage of them. I'll give you an insight. The present law was providing for people to just pay 50% of the approval fee. In an instance, I'll give you an example. Somebody builds a three-bedroom and ends up spending about maybe 100 to 150 million, and then you are telling the person to pay for approval fee for 30,000 naira.
Wow.
And then his penalty is 15,000 naira, which means even from his back pocket, he can comfortably just pay you 45,000. So why does he need to stress himself to go and get a building approval?
So in other words, the laws are obsolete?
The laws are obsolete. But you see, with the new dimension we have now and the new order that's on ground, if you dare go and dig the ground without approval and we get to that side, whatever you have built on that side is what we are valuing. And 50% of what you had spent in building that is what we are going to charge you. So that's the idea, so that people get to know that we don't take things for granted and then we need to do the things that we need to do and get approvals. And the reason for getting approval is not in any way to frustrate anybody. There are areas that had been planned as green areas. There are areas that have been planned for certain types of buildings. And then if you don't come to seek for the approval and get the professional advice from the regulatory body, which is the Development Control Arm of GMDB, how would you know you're not supposed to do that? And then by the time you go and do something wrong, it is expected that your government should wear human face and just look at you and have mercy on you. So we're trying to tell people, okay, enough has happened. Can we stop here? Make amends, because it's already too bad for us in two sectors. We have 8 sectors to develop. Can we try to get it right? So that's the idea behind this.
All right. Let's look at some of the sanctions, you know, therein attached in that executive order, especially for traders, you know. And it's seen there that illegal traders, you know, around the marketplaces, I'm trying to get that bullet point. Traders doing business on sites not designated for such shall cease immediately. Anyone in default shall have their items confiscated and same donated to the internally displaced persons camp or the correctional centers. This makes a lot of sense because, you know, there are people who are in need of the goods that these people trade and all that. But then again, for the economic purpose, for the economic growth and development of the state, some people, perhaps, I don't know for what reason, but you could help us speak about how easy it is for people to obtain facilities to do businesses, either in the market sites or these people that have to just do trading by the roadside.
When it comes to trading on the roadside, a lot of human perspective comes to play. You should also understand that the government is a government of the people, and then it's people-oriented. We've done a whole lot of stakeholder engagement. We've sat down with most of the stakeholders. We've given them time since last year, informing them that this is not proper. In fact, part of painting of the curbs is to tell them, okay, these are our boundaries. Stay off our roads. Can you kindly get off the roads? Are you aware that we have up to 3 lanes in Bukuru?
Oh, no.
We have up to 3 lanes in Bukuru. More than half of it is being taken by traders, selling on the road, not in shops. And then you go to Feringeda Market today. You now have people on the road. Well, there's so much space inside. Nobody wants to go inside to trade inside. You have the Gadabu. When we have a satellite market that is literally
almost empty,
literally empty. People don't want to go into the market to sell. Then the one that disturbs people the most is Terminus.
Yeah.
It's Terminus. And then you find out that you are meandering within people and within goods and within everything. And the risks involved. You have trucks, you have cars coming in. If anything happens, God has been so faithful to us. And we don't have to wait until something bad happens to us before we become proactive. And the governor was magnanimous enough to say, look, while we are looking for arrangements to move these people, they can occupy parts of the burned-down market in Terminus. So we are moving them now from that part to temporary stores inside, pending when the neighborhood shops are going to come.
And is that building now hazardous for human occupation?
Nobody is going under the building.
Okay, yeah, okay. Nobody. Just within the premises?
Within the premises. Nobody is going under the building. We are going to make sure that that is being protected. And then the Ministry of Commerce has been instructed to make sure they designate stores and spaces for people so that we can be able to obtain data and get the names and number of people that are operating within that market.
Let's talk about the indiscriminate pasting of posters, because I saw it here. Talk to us about that, especially that you're a politician. This is your line. If during campaigns, politicians will just, you know, they'll paint the town with their posters. How do you hope to achieve, you know, all that? Because you have churches, you have people doing programs, you have, in fact, in Oliapot Junction, I always see that people would just do flex burn and wood, and, you know, just on middle of the road, and what have you. Talk to us about that.
That's the idea. There was no penalty in the law for you to get to people like that. And need I remind you that, apart from being a politician, I also manage signages in GMDB, which is one of our mandate to do.
Yeah.
So in this order now, we are telling people, if you need to do it, you need to do it rightly. We have a lot of billboards that have been provided. We have a lot of advert spaces that have been provided. We have a lot of provisions for you if you really want to get to send your message out. But, you know, when we start defacing the town, we are all liable now. Nobody is excused. Because if you, who is pasting, claims not to be aware, then the person you are pasting his posters will pay for it.
So, 500,000?
Yes, of course. I told you there are penalties, and if penalty is not stiff, then we will not have any reason. We don't want people paying us from back of their pocket and feeling so comfortable to damn the law. No. Everybody has to feel the grunt of it, so everybody has to be careful about it.
How about parking of trucks?
Yes, I was going to get there as well.
That one, it seems, you know, undoable, sorry to say, use that word. Because, I mean, the last administration really hammered on this, but, you know, nothing, you know, happened. Up to now, they're still parking in First Gate Dadinkoa, and despite the fact that, you know, there are parking spaces, you know, from Maraban Jama to, you know, Basa. Talk to us. How do you hope to achieve that?
And the restriction of their movements to Ponsak from 6 a.m. to 9. I mean, where is that point?
6 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Yes, to 9 p.m.
Yes. Just like you said, and just like our principal, we don't want to delve into the things of the past. Let's face the situation on ground. Like I said earlier, we've done a whole lot of stakeholder engagement. It is not government's responsibility to manage business. That's why we are providing the platform. We have identified lands in Maraban Jama, Hawen Kibo, Babale, Mr. Ali. Mm-hmm. And anybody who is interested can come forward to come and discuss with us and see how we can manage the truck parks. But it's not government's responsibility to manage it. And then for the trucks coming into town, you said it has been attempted in the past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you give us the benefit of doubt to see? Because there's no law that provides that you park anywhere you want to park. And
but this bill, you know, seems,
no,
you know,
no.
Above the law.
It's not, that's the mistake. Who is above the law? Are you above the law?
No.
When you commit a crime now, when the law falls on you now,
I'll pay for it.
You pay for it. Mm. Now, you see, unfortunately for a lot of people, we are quite exposed for certain things. We've seen it happen in Kaduna, we've seen it happen in Kano, we've seen it happen in Bauchi, and to some extent we're part of the implementation of some of these things. So it's not rocket science. You know, we have gone way past it in Plateau where people use sentiments and then try to divide people and then bring in the ethnic or religious sentiments to tell you. We say it without mincing words, and I'm glad our principal, His Excellency Barrister Caleb Manasseh Mutfwang, has proven beyond words that we are for everybody. We don't care what part of the country you come from. We don't care where you are, as long as you're on the Plateau, your brother and your sister, and we'll make Plateau work for all of us. So if you're in the Plateau, and Plateau must work for all of us, there are lives we cannot pay back that were lost because of these trucks that are parked in Dadingwa. There are a lot of accidents that we cannot account for. There are a lot of things. And let me shock you. The trucks in Dadingwa are not as much as the trucks you go and find in Laranto and then Zaria Road, and then when you go to Bauchi Ring Road. So the idea is not just facing Dadingwa. I promised Plateau people in the first instance, I said, we don't want temporary solutions when we came into office. We said we could go, we could flog them. Now, this came as a result of a whole lot of stakeholder engagement, and we tried our possible best. We gave them the option of even looking for where it was conducive for them. And unfortunately, they didn't come back on that. But right now, we can't continue to harbor it. And since the time has come, we're giving them the time to now take action and do the needful.
How about the movement of animals within the Jos Greater Master Plan?
Yes.
How do you hope, you know, to achieve that? Because, I mean, these are some of the things that cause problems, you know, in Benue State. How do you hope to... I'm so happy that you've said something very profound, that you are seeking collaboration of people, and then the government, you know, is doing justice to all and sundry. Granted that you are on the Plateau. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, like I said, there's a lot of advocacy that is going on. There are a lot of consultations that we're also doing. We are trying as much as possible to make people understand. What are you doing? Let me ask you, for instance, when you allow your pig to roam on the street, or your goat, or your cow, what is it doing on the street within the metropolis? Is it a farm?
Or a dog?
Or a dog.
You know,
do you understand? So you should get it straight. It's not the Benue scenario here. We're talking about the metropolis, and we're very particular about it. We said all animals. It's not like you're being selective to say this or no. Yeah. All animals. And in the case of all animals, we mean it. You have no business roaming the streets in the metropolis. You don't have food for them on the streets. You don't have anything for them to get on the streets. So get them to a proper place for your animals that you're rearing. And mind you, part of the building laws that we're going to be implementing very soon is the idea of people having farms in their houses.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk to us more about that, yeah.
Some people have farms in their houses. You have a lot of people within residential areas having poultries inside their houses, and then it's a health hazard to their neighbors. And then you have people who have piggery. When you were given approval, that is if you have. It was for a residential development, not for a farm.
Yeah.
And so you cannot be multitasking your property on that, which you don't have approval for that. And those are kind of people that are going to pay heavily. Because while we are doing this advocacy, while we are enlightening people and going around, we're also doing housing remuneration. And we are taking stock of properties. We are taking stock of private properties that have been converted to commercial properties. We are taking stock of commercial properties that have been converted to other use. And we are taking stock of houses that have been converted to worship places and all that. If your approval did not capture for that.
I mean, I've lived in a place where you can't believe the degree of pollution that takes place there, because people decide to farm, you know, at residential areas. And I would really, really be excited, like most people, you know, in this state, if that law, I mean, catches up with people who... But let's look at, you know, the dates, from when these laws will take effect. From what I see here, in the case of the control of buildings, by the 10th day of June 2024, in the case of vehicular traffic, by the 19th day of March 2024, and it has a lifespan of 90 days, from the date of its commencement in each case, subject to renewal. The stakeholder engagement. What are some of the things that you have experienced? Because, of course, ahead of implementation, I want to hazard a guess. That's what this is saying. You're holding engagements with people, stakeholders, just to be able to sensitize them. What do you see? What are some of the challenges you encounter from people and what are the feedbacks you're getting also from them?
Well, for challenges, it's just fears, and then the feedbacks we're getting has been more helpful because we get people tell us that they are quite appreciative that government is even reaching out to them to talk to them. And then the challenges we're having is, with all sincerity of purpose, when you open up and tell people and you give them the mandate to go and get alternatives and come back so that government can intervene, some don't come back. But that's not to say, but just like you rightly said, you can see that the government is also magnanimous, not to say we're just raising a fiat. The government has given everybody who has a building between now and June to regularize. If it's condonable, we'll process it for you. You get your approval, you pay your normal dues, you do it. If it's not condonable, we'll tell you it's not condonable, and then we'll apologize to you. There's nothing we can do about it. Then for the trucks and everything, we're still engaging. And part of the task force that is going to be set, I can assure you that their unions are going to be involved in the task force so that they know that it's for their own good. And we're also in talks with a few individuals who are willing to invest in opening up some of these areas to be used as parks.
Before we came into the studio for the show, Osama was raising a point. You have people who have had the GMDBX on their structures and they go ahead to continue, you know, erecting those structures. What is the implication of all of this?
Like I always say, there's condonable and uncondonable structure. And if it's condonable, by the time we mark an X, it is expected that your attention is required in the office. When you come, it's condonable and you meet the requirements and you do the needful, they will allow you to continue. But in a situation whereby it's not condonable, or you decide deliberately not to come and see us, and then you decided to continue after seeing our ex, it means you have too much money to waste. Because the law is very clear about it. When they tell you stop work, you stop work, you come and do the needful. When you don't come, when we come, we'll also apologize to you because we'll have to do the needful.
Well, let's open the phone lines and give you the opportunity in case you want to ask the GM of GMDB, Kitet Hart-Bankard, any question regarding the Executive Order 3 being signed by Governor of Plateau State, Barrister Caleb Mutfwang. I mean, we took it line by line so that you can get all of the issues in the right context and perspective. 0812187777 or call 090-5566-6699. Please, before you call, turn down the volume of your radio, tell us the name, and ask your question or make a comment. Please, straight to the point.
And you can drop your comments on Facebook at JFM Live, on X where JFM just.
Let's take the first call. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Good evening.
Yes, thank you for calling. Tell us the name and join the conversation, please.
Thank you very much. My name is Sadiq Umar. I'm calling from Chicha and Junction.
We're listening. Thanks for calling, Sadiq.
Yes, I will comment to a guest. You have spoken very, very well. And you have raised a lot of issues. And especially the order that was reached there is a very, very recommended. Seeing that Plateau State is so well organized in terms of town planning. And my question to your guest is this issue of people around Terminus Market. We see that the old Terminus, there's no work business there, but they're still selling things at the road. So why can they not vacate to the inside the Terminus Market so that they can be able to be paying the government a tax? And the second issue is the issue of this Keke Napep driver that normally used to close by 6 o'clock. We don't know how the government what are doing so that they can increase the issue. And lastly, I'm calling on the people in terms of paying tax, especially in the GMDB. You will see a person will build and he will not pay the necessary approval that he's supposed to pay. And if this is the kind of money that the government needs to bring development. So if the people are not neglecting in their payment, that means they are causing problems. So the government have to be up and doing to make sure that those that are building illegally, they have to follow the main things. And lastly, there is some people that are building and you will see that the building will fall and the building do not have standard. So what are GMDB doing to make sure that they are supervised? Or if a person have seen this kind of building, how is he going to report to the GMDB so that they can take action? That's my question. Thank you very much.
I mean, great question. The GM is taking notes and he's going to attempt all of the questions. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling. Hello? Okay, not working. 0812187777. Hello?
Hello, good evening.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, I'm Nizan. I'm calling from Dong Village.
We're listening. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, we have a question for the GM there. What is the way of handling these animals? If you see if somebody will be in his house, then you see animals, these Fulanis, the rare animals all over the area. I want the punitive measures to be taken because we are scared of their movement around here. Please.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, not only cow, he said, even dogs, pigs, and yeah, all forms of animals, stray animals. Let's get that in the right context. Hello? Hello? Not working. Please call us back when you get a chance. Hello, good evening.
Hello.
Thank you for
calling. Good evening, Mr. Bonshad.
Yeah, thank you for calling. Tell us the name and join the conversation, please.
My name is Z. Anthony. I'm calling you from Wasi Road.
Thank you for calling. We're listening.
Sorry, to the guest, I really appreciate his presence in the studio and for him trying to address some critical issues. My question is that, I don't know, can he help us to explain more on CO4 and RO4? That's first question.
Okay.
And then secondly, if you check very well, you will learn that around riverine areas, people are still developing buildings along riverine areas. For instance, I don't know if he can go send his team for supervision along Gedabu, riverine areas towards Anguansoya downward. You will learn that people are advancing projects to riverine areas inside the river axis where water will come and do more destruction to such buildings. And what are they doing concerning these kind of issues, people building around riverine areas? And then more to this, last question that I want to ask. Challenges of land disputes. I don't know. Is it that some certain lands that are owned by individuals, they have every right without approvals to sell it to persons without full documentations of those lands in respect of, I want to buy a land, and then it will just be a transaction paper buying without CO4, RO4, and other stuff. Is it proper that way, or it needs to be in a proper manner of buy and sell? These are my questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The GM is taking notes, and I can assure you that he's going to... Maybe you answer some of the questions that we've had so that we can expect more.
Yeah, I want to start with Sadiq Umar, who called from TT&T. I think he joined us a bit late because we had highlighted on the issue of Terminus Market and that Ministry of Commerce has been given instructions to take people back into the main market, a portion of it, which is undeveloped as a temporary measure pending when neighborhood stores will be opened for these people to be moved from that axis of it. And then for the Keke Napep operations, there was a task force put in place, and then there are logistics that are being worked out and things will be soon concluded so that we can now have data. If you recall last week, there was a QR code that was released for all Keke Napeps, and once we're able to get the database of everybody who operates and uses a Keke Napep, both the rider and the owner, we will be able to look into extending it. But we are cautious also of the security operations of those bikes and what they've done so far. So once that is done and we get a good database of the people, we'll do that. And I thank him also for also encouraging people to understand that for the government to do more, we have to be up to our responsibility and pay taxes. And for collapsed buildings, I want to assure you, wherever we see one, the full wrath of government is going to go into it, and we'll flex our muscles with it, not because we want to fight, but simply because we are setting standards and there's no compromise to the lives of people. No matter what it takes, we'll handle it. And then for Izang, who called on the issue of stray animals.
Yeah.
It's a collaboration. It's not a competition. So it's not like a wholly responsibility of government. We might not be everywhere at the same time. But please, when you do that, just let us know. Inform us, and then we'll be able to take action and do the needful so that we'll implement the order that has been given to us as from the 19th of May. Well, I'm sure we'll put that to rest. Yeah. For Z and Tony, C of O is certificate of occupancy. R of O is right of occupancy. Mm. Now, when you get all the requisite titles from the locals and then you process it from the local chiefs down to the local government, you now have a sole right over the property to now process it with government and register it to be recognized. That's where you get the right of occupancy. You usually get the right of occupancy to proceed with your development, pending when you develop and then you get your COO. But people still can run concurrently to get that. That's solely the responsibility of Ministry of Land Survey and Town Planning. And then for those, we've said this over and over again, I think in Executive Order 1 or 2, I'm not quite certain right now, the governor made mention of GMDB to take responsibility on all those and use the full rot of the law on all those building on water lines. So anybody building on water line, we're giving you a grace to remove the blocks, because when it gets to the point that we have to remove the blocks of whatever you must have put in that place, you're going to pay the cost of it and you bear it. And for land disputes, I think that's also the sole responsibility of Ministry of Land Survey and Town Planning. But either way, wherever you have it, based on your documentations, it will guide you.
All right.
And it is safer for you to have a proper title. An ROO or a COO, it's much more better for you.
There you have it. Thank you for that explanation. Yeah. Hello. Okay, not working. 0121877777 or you call 0905566699. Hello.
Hello, Pastor.
Yes, thank you for calling. Yeah. Good evening.
Yeah, Israel, I'm calling from Shaka.
Thank you, Israel. We're listening.
Yeah, I want to appreciate the general manager for coming to make it very clear. But my question is, like, all those new areas that are springing up, where to build on roads where there's no access road, what is his plan for those areas, especially areas that are just coming up new, and there are no access roads, especially like areas like Philly Sukwa now. There are areas around Bukuru also. What is he planning to do about that?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Hello. Hello. Okay. Not working. 0821877777. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Thank you for calling.
Good evening, Pamplat.
Thank you
for calling.
Yeah. Thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
Thank you so very much. This is Comrade Marambulus Mandu calling you from Defo in Bokos.
We're listening. Go ahead, sir.
I want to ask you, yes, even though no one of the callers, in fact, almost no asked no similar question that I want to ask. No, the state, I think, no, to my own understanding, I think state is no is responsible for the ownership of the land. So if I
Hello?
Yes, I said the state. I'm talking about the state.
Okay. You know? Yeah, go ahead. We can hear you.
Yes, state, no, the land belongs to the state, not the federal government.
Yes, yes.
But why is it that, you know, the state government can...
Hello? Well, please call us back when the network permits. Hello?
Hello, Osaka and the guests in the house. Good evening.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
Yes, my name is Wadley Emmanuel. I'm calling from Sidwada. First of all, I want to commend the effort of the GM. He has spoken well. And for me, as a chair of town planning, I think this is just the perfect way to go about how to remodel this city and make it a city that will be attractive to all. But one other thing I want to plead with the GM is that you need to notice that most of our communities, you will see a building expanding to about 20 kilometers, and there's no provision for recreational fields where you see a standard football field where you have a basketball field in a place. People just building, and I don't know. If you look at Jos, we don't have good football fields. We don't have good recreational places where people gather, converge in their neighborhood to see how they can relax their mind. So please, GM, sir, if there are existing ones that have been in the master plan before.
Oh, wow. I please call us back when you get a chance. He was making a very important point. Good evening. Thank you for calling.
Good evening, Pastor. It's Comrade calling you back.
Great. Thank you for calling back. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. My question goes like this. But since the land belongs to the, you know, to states, so it shows that any transaction
that will be taking place, you know, between either the owner or the farm, either the land, you know, within the state, I think the government should be aware. The government should be aware. Why am I saying so? Like somebody said that the land is, I'm telling you, if you come to some of our villages, seriously, some of our traditional rulers, in fact, are causing a lot of what, you know, problems, even the insecurity, you know, from that. If you go to some places like in Boko Haram government, the traditional rulers will be saying that not land, no, the hills and rivers belong to them. So if the land and hills, no, belong to them, even the rivers belong to them. So if you want to do anything within those places, you have to go and look for them. And do you know what some of these, you know, traditional rulers are doing? They will invite people from somebody who migrated, so come from outside of those states. You want to settle? You just come and meet these people, in fact, before you know, the transaction has been made without anything, and you begin to see buildings. And this is one of the problems that some of us are facing in the villages. I'm telling you this. So we need government, even the government, thank God that the government is preventing this. Yeah. In fact, there are so much, you know, illegality, you know, is going on, you know, in the village. At the end of the day, the security, when the residents or the community realize that somebody is building on the hills, you know, or somewhere, you know, you discover that they want to raise voice. Before you know, the person will say, ah, go and meet your traditional ruler. He's the one that give us this one. And before you know, they don't even know where the person comes from. After some time, you know, you begin to see what insecurity, or maybe the person is a criminal. So I don't know what the state government is doing with regard to this. They should not only restrict, you know, themselves within the just metropolis, because seriously, some of the problems that we are facing in what, you know, in the villages, in fact, it's been caused by these so-called traditional rulers.
Thank you.
So that is what I want this note to take note of this one and to take it to the table of, you know, the governor of Plateau. Seriously.
Thank you.
Even yesterday, at the mining site, a security man shot one button. You know, there are a lot of illegal mining going on the plateau. Illegal mining. Mm.
Thank you.
Two man shot one person yesterday.
Shot him.
In fact, yesterday it was not what could have even happened yesterday. They are not at the site, because the youth said that we don't agree. They started hitting some of the traditional rulers, and they were running for their lives yesterday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, Gilbert will take us through social media.
Let's first look at X, where Barry Olariwaju says, "The situation in Nigeria is really depressing. Our mental health is being toyed with day in, day out, because there is no good news in my beloved country, Nigeria." And Zumnan Mark Gimba says, "Please, is there any action when structures like streetlights are damaged? Example, following an accident and never replaced. Does JMDB have any plans to reactivate the streetlights along Sambo Ati Road, that's Lamingo Junction, to NIMSI office?" And Israel Daniel says, "Do we have a government-owned land that can be sold at a cheaper rate for people?" All right. On Facebook, Ayodele Agbabiaka says, "I'm glad these indiscriminate parking will be taken care of, and how some residential areas are involved in farming without registration. The time is really now." Felkuka Factor says, "I'm just concerned about the way security problems are escalating in the country. How can bandits kidnap a big number of people from Kaduna to Zamfara without any arrest? How did they move down there on route or air, and what is Nigerian security body doing? Blaming as usual, security are to blame here, or they should answer some questions." Kingsley N. Guerman says, "For me, this is truly a good move in the right direction." Jimmy Dungian says, "As a state that is very agri-based, I think some accommodation should be made for small-scale agriculture by people. Many people rely on these small gardens to complement their income and food. If you just come outrightly to ban people from keeping their few chickens or small farm, you are increasing poverty. So please, government should not create different problems while trying to solve another problem." Julius Achigak says, "Governor Caleb Mutfong is doing great, and we pray that he will continue in this trajectory. May God bless him and give him new ideas to lead Plateau State well."
Amen.
Robert Bere Victor says, "The JMDB needs to understand that the Just Master Plan has been distorted from previous administration. There is the need to review it and see how to adjust the current reality. Secondly, JMDB should stop witch hunting the poor people. Only they should go against every defaulter with reference to an occurrence that happened and the owner of the building brought military personnel and the JMDB is quiet.
Well, Mr. GM, please go ahead and attempt all of the questions. I see you taking notes. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Let's go back from the start with Israel. I think I keep saying this. Getting land titles is not an approval to build. And so when you decide to expand in a new area and decide to develop without getting the necessary approval, then you're willing to face the consequences. Now, this is not coming as a threat because we kept emphasizing and telling people that, look, whatever development you're doing, part of you coming to see it is to see that, look, we've brought in softwares that will create layouts in undeveloped areas so that we can even give the locals and tell them, look, when you want to sell your land, use this layout. We can help you. We can facilitate to provide the basic infrastructure so that it makes it easier for you to be able to maneuver. You have roads, you have drainages. You now know what you can take out of it. And then people have a well-planned society. And we've been talking about security and all that. Part of the reason why we have insecurity is because of all these sharks we have around. If we have well-planned and laid out cities, it will be very difficult for certain crimes to take place because you'll be able to monitor and track everything. And we are doing our best to see. For whatever it is, we keep advising people. That's why I told you it's two types. It's either condonable and uncondonable. When we come, if it's condonable, we'll see there's what we call readjustment and realignment. When we come to that part, we'll do it. We're actually doing it in the office right now. It's going to go alongside with our street naming and house numbering. And then for comrades from Bokers, I understand his plea, I understand his passion. I will raise the observation with Ministry of Lands and let's see how actions will be taken on some of these things.
Especially the local chiefs, they say that they are causing problems because they give mining licenses. They are not supposed to give mining licenses, but they just give people to come and mine here and then start causing problems to communities.
So we'll discuss. For the illegal mining, I was about to say that I'll inform the Commissioner for Environment so that necessary actions will be taken. And then within the metropolis also, we have our very good friend, the DG for PEPSA, which I know they are working on a lot with the commissioner to see that they tame the issue of illegal mining within the metropolis. And for the issue of recreational areas, it comes back to the same point we are making. Come forward, allow us to give you the plan and the layout so that you should be able to do the needful. We cannot force people when people start building in pockets all over the place, and then at the end of the day, everybody sells land. It's not about selling your farmland. Nobody is taking your land away from you. Nobody is telling you, we want to take this. No. It's your inheritance, in quote. And then I was glad Comrade raised that observation. But the government is not military, and the government is nice and compassionate and saying, look, if you want to sell land, don't be selling land in piecemeals or farms. Come to us. We'll give you a layout. I was with the Council of Chiefs, and I'm looking forward to meet with all the chiefs within the Greater Jos Master Plan to be able to enlighten them and make them understand and see the vision, what we have for the remaining eight sectors, because two of the sectors have been bastardized, so that they will get to see and understand, so that when you have a hectare, you have 2 hectares, you have 3 hectares. Nobody is contesting that with you. Who will show you the layout? Who will show you what's supposed to come out? So that by the time you mark it on the ground, it even increases value to your land and whatever you're going to do. And we hope that we'll get to achieve that. And then for streetlights,
we're going to
reactivate some streetlights. The governor was magnanimous enough to make provisions for it in the budget. We are reactivating some, and we are going to have to do some new ones. And let me set the record straight again. Yeah, we don't care whose ox is being good. We are not threatened or intimidated by anybody. And so we cannot witch hunt anybody. What is right is right. Yeah. What is wrong. And I put it to there that anybody who says we are witch hunting him should please come forward and show the world the document he has and all the necessary approvals, and we are denying him that.
Thank you. Thank you. The GM of JMDB, Akited Hardbank, had a very elaborate conversation with you this evening. Thank you so much for coming. And we pray you courage, wisdom, courage to always stand with what is right in the best interest of society, and wisdom in knowing how to go about it. Thank you so much for coming, sir.
Well, Gilbert, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.